Why live a normal life when you could be living the abundant life? Welcome to the Abundant Life Program with Ashley and Carly Terades.
Hey, welcome to Abundant Life. I'm so excited today. We've actually got a teaching recorded live of Carly ministering recently. So we're going to switch over and watch that. I know you're going to be really blessed. She's teaching the Word of God in a powerful way. So she's my favorite teacher. So we're going to head on over now and watch this live event.
All righty. I tell you, I had fun this morning. Do we have anyone that just showed up that wasn't here earlier? Welcome. Better late than never. Welcome. We're glad to have you. Like Ashley was saying, you can get this morning's sessions on the recording. They were all recorded for you as well. But so this workshop is victory over our flesh. You know, we all have it, don't we? Some of us have a little bit more of it than we'd like to see, right? What are you saying? Oh, the lights in the... You want to be able to see to write. Oh, can you put the lights up a little bit? They'll figure it out. They want to be able to see their Bibles. In every crowd, you get some people that are just more spiritual than others, you know. They want to be able to see the Word, so you can't blame them for that. All right, let there be light, and there was light. Praise Jesus. All right, so I want to turn to a scripture here. You know, this morning we started touching on this, about perspective, okay? About how we see our challenges and how we face our giants is what we're talking about. That victory is won in our thinking first before it is won in the natural. And healing is no different from that. You know, there are different things. Sometimes people come and they'll say, you know, I've been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and they're absolutely terrified. But never does somebody come to me with a cold and they're absolutely terrified, okay? And why is that? It's because a cancer has more fear attached to it than a cold does, right? And honestly, it's the same Jesus in us, it's the same power in us that heals a cancer, that heals a cold. You see, God sees things from a different perspective than we see things, right? Let's look at this scripture together. This is in Acts 2, and I'm going to start in verse 22, Acts 2, verse 22. It says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, did miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you also know, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified him and put him to death." That was yesterday, right? But Sunday's coming, right? Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. I want you to pay attention to the very last piece of that verse. Whom God raised up, loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that death could hold him. Death did not have a choice. I don't care how you package it. I don't care if it looks like a cancer. I don't care how ugly it is, whether it's got horns on or whether it's a terrible diagnosis from the doctor where he says you got a few days to live. Death comes in different packages. But you see, the same death that could not hold Jesus cannot hold you. Amen? It has no part in your body. You should not be checking out of this life until your determined purpose is done with. Amen? Until you graduate. Amen? God has promised us 120 years and I'm not checking out early. So the grave could not hold Jesus. But here's the thing we need to get a perspective on. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. We have dead. Look at your neighbor and say, you have dead raising power on the inside of you. Amen. Man, that's more than enough power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out any demon in hell, right? The problem is that we sometimes start to look in our outward shell rather than seeing what we have in our spirit, right? And the fact of the matter is, when we got born again, how many of you in here are born again? Put your hand up if you're born again. Awesome. When you got born again, you received Jesus into your heart, into your spirit. Your spirit man became alive. So now you are a spirit, a soul, and a body. I don't know how that all fits inside of you, right? Some of you just had to stretch the tent pegs out a little bit more than others, right? You got to get a bit more of him in there, amen? okay? But you know that the kingdom of heaven is dwelling within us. That means we carry Jesus around on the inside of us. Amen? Let me ask you this. When you got born again, okay, did anyone convince you into it? I mean, like, did they put a gun to your head? Could they, you know, could they wrestle you to the ground and say, you have to get born again? Right? How did you get born again? You believed on Jesus, right? You had to receive Jesus by your own choice. Amen? Now, Ashley was alluding to this a little bit this morning, but basically, Jesus has done everything that we're ever going to put. He's won every battle. He's gotten every victory. Amen? We have got the easy part. But receiving doesn't just happen. Otherwise, if they did, then we wouldn't have anyone around us that was still sick, right? It would just simply be a matter of, well, you know, Jesus did it. Great, we got it, okay? But, you know, you don't get saved that way, do you? When you first heard the message, it's faith, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But, you know, they had to be a preacher. There had to be in a word for you to hear. You had to, somebody had to present the gospel for you, right? For you to say, hang a second, I think that's true. But in order for Jesus to come and take up residence on the inside of you and for you to become a believer, you had to respond to what he had already provided, right? Okay, so you had to at some point say, I believe and I receive and I'm for that. That is my positive response. Our positive response to what Jesus has already provided for us is faith. Amen? That's pretty simple, right? Well, here's the deal. So when you got born again, not only did you receive Jesus on the inside of you, your spirit became alive, you became spirit, soul, and body. The Jesus doesn't just, you know, come and go like he used to in the Old Testament. He comes and he resides on the inside of us. He inhabits us, amen? So we are carrying around, I read in that card I read this morning, you are a carrier of the King of Glory, amen? You didn't realize that, right? When you got up this morning, you looked in the mirror, you might not look like a carrier of the King of Glory, right? When your hair's all like that, you know? But that's a fact. You are a vessel for the Holy Spirit. The power of God now dwells inside of you. Inside of every part of you, and there is absolutely nothing you can do about it. That's good news, right? You're a carrier of the King of Glory. So if you received Jesus into your heart when you got born again, who's the healer? Okay? So where's Jesus living? So where's the healer living? So where's healing? Ah, there we go. You see, now, by default, you've just told me, because you contain Jesus, you also contain the healing power of Jesus because he's the healer. Amen? So we need to quit asking Game Show Jesus to come on down because you have the healer in you already. Amen? All the healing power that you're ever going to need, you've already got it, right? But it's locked away in your spirit, okay? The tricky piece of this is if we've got the healing power of God walking around on the inside of us, everywhere we go, he's over here, right? He's over here. We can't get away from him. Amen? He's in us. He's with us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Praise Jesus. We don't leak him out somewhere. He's in us, right? You're about as full of God as you're ever going to be about as full of God. You can't get any more of Jesus. Amen? You can't be a little bit saved, right? Can you be partially saved? Ladies, can you be partially pregnant? No, right? You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant, right? And because now you have the healing power of God on the inside of you, can you be partially healed? Okay, so we have a conflict. Who says yes? Who says no? Oh, you're so quick. Look at you go. You'll get an A. Here's the thing. In our spirit, we are 100% healed. Amen? And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, is what it says in the first chapter of Ephesians. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are packed full of the Holy Spirit in our promise. So where is sickness then? Where is sickness? Okay, it's in our flesh, right? It's hanging out in our flesh. Some of that's just ugly flesh, right? And the thing is, we gotta stick with this flesh suit. It's gotta last us till we get to the other side, right? Bummer. We're only going to get one of them. We better look after it. So what we've got to do is figure out how does the healing power, all that amazing power that lives in our spirit, make it across into our flesh? Because if it was just as simple as, I believe that Jesus has healed me, if it was just as simple as saying that, then there wouldn't be any Christians that were sick, right? But it's not just as simple as saying that, because there's this thing called faith. And you know where faith is impacted most is in our soul. Our spirit, we have the faith of Jesus. Amen? More than enough faith to raise the dead, right? It's potent stuff. You just need a mustard seed amount to move a mountain. It's really potent stuff, right? The problem is our stinking thinking gets in the way. The fuzz between our own ears sometimes. We know that God's gotten all this great stuff for us, that he's jammed us full of power and prosperity and all these things, but we're not seeing it manifest in our life because of the fuzz between our ears. That's our problem sometimes, right? Our thinking. You know, it's interesting, when I meet people that aren't even born again, that have no religious church upbringing whatsoever, and I remember somebody particularly in healing school, they came and I said, why have you come to healing school? I said, well, I want to get healed. Well, then you've come to the right place, right? It's a good idea. And he had pain all through his body, all of his muscles and joints were messed up and just pain everywhere. And we said, well, do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because, you know, you can get healed. That's not difficult. But, you know, where are you going to spend eternity? He goes, no, thank you. I just want to get healed. Okay, fair enough. You don't have to get healed to receive. You don't have to be saved to receive healing. All the people Jesus prayed for, were they saved? No. Okay. I know some of you are like, what? Okay. Right? It's true, isn't it? They haven't received Jesus yet. So this guy, he was sweet. And so he said, no, I just want to get healed. He said, all right, and we're going to pray for you. And this is what's going to happen when we pray. All the pain, you know, the power of God's going to go into you. And the pain's going to leave. The inflammation in your joints are going to leave. You're going to be able to move. You're going to be just as you were created to be in Jesus' name. Is that good with you? He said, that's fine with me. Like, okay, then. Let's see how this goes. So we prayed for this guy. All the pain left. His joints were fine. He was able to move. He was healed, right? You know what happened next? He got happy. He just believed that it was possible. I mean, why not? He was just giving it a go, right? He didn't know anything about anything. But he's like, well, I guess it's logical. If God created us, he can fix us if we're broken. That's really good logic, right? That's more than a lot of religious people realize, right? And so what happened that after he got healed, did now do you want to receive Jesus? He's like, well, yeah. I mean, this is show and tell, right? Healing is a dinner bell for the gospel. Healing is a dinner bell for the gospel. But there, you know, it's interesting because more of the people I minister to are believers. Believers are Christians. And they are struggling with sickness. You know, the unbelievers, if God made you, he knows how to fix you. If you're broken, if he really did make the world, then surely he's got the blueprints for your body, right? That's just logical. He knows how to fix you if you're broken. But religious people will come and tell you all the reasons why healing won't work for them. They will. They'll come up with 101 reasons why it's not going to work for them, and then they wonder why they're still sick. Their faith is working perfectly. They're getting exactly what they believe for, sickness, right? We don't have a faith problem. Here's the thing, though. Faith for healing is based on knowledge, right? I'm going to say that again. Faith for healing is based on knowledge. And if we have the wrong kind of knowledge, we are going to struggle to receive heavenly things from our spirit into our flesh, right? And so for many years, we went to a local church, and I'd struggled with epilepsy. I had epilepsy. I had lots of grand mal seizures. Ashley mentioned this. I had grand mal seizures. I had to have a babysitter just for me. We had three kids at home. Ashley was at work. I couldn't be left at home with the kids by myself. It was just a bad deal. Okay, it was rough. If anyone's ever seen anyone have a seizure, you know, it can be pretty terrifying, right? Someone frothing and foaming at the mouth and rolling around on the floor, okay? And we never really knew when this was going to happen, so we kind of had like a padded room in the house where I could go and lay down on the floor and bolt the door, keep the kids in with me. One day I remember I was like 8 months pregnant with Hannah and I woke up and there's a big pair of garden shears just laying on my big pregnant belly. One of the toddlers had gotten out into the yard and found the garden shears and, you know, thankfully nothing bad happened. But life was challenging. We had challenges in the natural. We'd been Christians for well over a decade at that point, baptized in the Holy Spirit, fanatics for Jesus. Amen. We love God with everything in us, but there was a part of our understanding that says, you know, God is sovereign, right? God is sovereign, which means in our understanding, which is incorrect actually, that God was in control of everything. And that we barely, you know, our relationship with God was basically based on Jesus. And only in light of Jesus could God bear to look at us. You know, we were but worms, right? And because of that, our whole prayer life, our whole relationship with God was repent, don't sin, repent, don't sin, repent, don't sin, right? You know what that does to your relationship with the Lord, though? That's like having a, I don't know, trying to have an intimate relationship with a with a, you know, an angry parent? How can you have an intimate relationship with somebody if you don't know when you come into the presence, their presence, that they're going to beat you, right? You know, if you beat a dog, not don't do this, okay? But you know, if, maybe put it this way: if you rescue a dog from the pound, okay, you have never been mean to that dog. You have just received that dog into your home. You want to love that dog. You want to give that dog everything. You want to go to PetSmart and buy ridiculously outpriced toys, okay? You want to take care of it. You want to have it to come sleep in your bed with you. My goodness, you just want to show that dog how much you love that dog, right? That dog has no idea how much you love them because in its past experience of people, all its understanding is that people beat me. People beat me. And so every time you try to get close to that dog's going to cower away because it's going to be fear of being struck. I meet so many believers like that, that have a misconception, a misunderstanding of the true nature of God. You know, I said this earlier, but God is good and God is love. Amen? And we need, as a body, we need to stop accusing God of child abuse. Right? I mean, how many of you as parents would put a cancer in your child to teach it something? What kind of lousy parenting would that be? As a parent, you would not, when if you had it in your power to fix a situation for your child, you would not hold back. If there was something, there was, especially if it's life or death, but if there's some sort of provision, if there's something you could do for your child that would change their world, as a parent, you'd do it, wouldn't you? Yet as believers, we accuse God of child abuse, that he's putting cancer on people to teach them something. Or he's putting sickness on something because somehow he just his ways are more higher than our ways, right? And we can never not can know the mind of God. Yes, we can. He's revealed it to us in this book. Jesus had a healing ministry. I mean, what kind of schizophrenic God would send his Savior and then have a healing ministry if he didn't like healing, right? Seriously, it doesn't even make sense to believe that sickness comes from God. I mean, all those believers out there, you know, if you believe sickness comes from God, then why are you going to the doctors? You really need to enter into the perfect will of God and embrace it, don't you? Seriously. If we believe that sickness is from God, we will not be able to receive healing into our bodies. That's it. Faith for healing is based on knowledge. But for many years, as a Christian, we were stuck in this rut. I said, well, you got epilepsy. It must be God's will for you. Right? It must be God's will for you. You just got to learn to live with it. It's humbling you somehow. You know what? Nowhere in the New Testament does Jesus put sickness on people. In fact, everyone that comes to Jesus is healed every single time. He's in the healing business, and he says, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." God is not schizophrenic. Healing is not a new idea. It's all the way through the Bible. Amen. But it takes some religious friends to help you mess that up. It really does. You know, in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "By his stripes we were healed." We were healed. Amen. Psalm 103 says, forget not all his benefits, who heals all your sicknesses and all your diseases. You know that little word all? It means all, right? Even in the original text, it means everything. Nothing is excluded from the healing power of God, and God's will for you is to walk in health. So if God's will for us is to walk in health, why aren't we walking in health? Man, isn't that a point of frustration? How many of you have been believing God for healing for something in your body for a long time? All right, I want you to write the name of it down on that sticky note. You were given sticky notes when you came in. You got your sticky notes? Or you can use a piece of paper. I just thought I'd give you sticky notes because it was kind of fun. So whatever in the area of healing that you're believing for, I want you to write the name of it on that sticky note and hang on to that sticky note, okay? Anyone else need a sticky note? Josh is running around. I think everyone's got one. Okay, good. So write the name of it there and just hang on to it for a minute. Okay, so I think, you know, in Hebrews 4, verse 2, let's just go there for a minute. You know, do you have that? Hebrews 4, verse 2. It's a good but short scripture. Anyway, I'll let you know what it is while you're finding it. It basically says that we need to take the word of God and mix it with faith for it to profit us. If the word of God is not taken and mixed with faith in those that hear it, it's not going to be a benefit to your mortal flesh, right? So we're here, we're hearing the word of God, we attend church on Sundays, maybe we go to Bible college, or we, you know, we feed ourselves in the word, however it is that the word of God gets you, your daily reading. But reading the word of God, it has to be mixed with faith for it to profit you something, right? Sometimes we find ourselves stuck in this rut because we don't know how to get out of it because it's our experience, okay? But I'm going to show you what faith is and what faith is not and how to apply it to your situation. Is that okay? Because I believe it's the missing link to many believers that have been stuck in the place of sickness for too long, right? So like I said, I'm dealing with epilepsy for a long time, had it for many years, believed incorrectly that it was God's will somehow for my life. Until one day, I went to a Bible study at my friend's house, and she was having a Bible study, and she was from a different church from mine. She was part of this charismatic church. They spoke in tongues. The tongues got her, okay? But, one thing I realized about these ladies that met is like a mum's group, you know, the kids are at school, it's like a mother's meeting. I suppose like Flourish would be kind of the thing that they have here. And anyway, so most of the bigger kids are all at school. We've got the little kids there. And so we were, the thing about these ladies was I knew that they had a real life-giving relationship with Jesus. They spoke to him and he spoke to them. And that was curious to me. I was like, wow, you know, that's pretty, I want what you've got. Something about those ladies attracted me. And we were sitting there in the Bible study. My friend was teaching on strongholds. And she explained it, you know, as just an area of your life that maybe you've held, you know, that you've kind of got this. You know, you kind of said to God, I've got this. I don't need your help with that area. You know, I can take care of this bit. I've got it covered, Jesus. Don't worry. You know, a stronghold. Something that you hadn't maybe let God in on, right? And I was feeling really confident in myself, you know, because my whole prayer life was repentance anyway. So I figured I had everything under the blood. And there really wasn't much else to pray about. So I'm just sitting there, you know, they've all got their eyes closed, and I'm suddenly on the inside of my head, I hear the Lord speak to me. And this is one of the first times I remember the Lord speaking really clearly on the inside of my head and knowing it was him speaking to me. Right? Sometimes when the Lord speaks to us, it sounds so much like us that we can miss it. Right? The Lord speaks to us spirit to spirit. It's in the still small voice. We can miss it if we're not careful. So as he spoke to me, he says, you know, Carly, in 2 weeks' time, this epilepsy, you've never given me this epilepsy. You can be healed from that. In 2 weeks' time, if you choose to be. I was like, tilt? I mean, well, what's that all about? I had no benchmark in our life. We had no experience of healing whatsoever. We, our church had sickness services. Bring out your dead. I mean, it was bad, right? We had no point of reference for healing whatsoever. And then here's God speaking to me. I'm like, I can't tell anyone. They're going to think I'm loopy. They're going to think I'm completely crazy. And so I just went home and I'm like, all right, Lord, you're going to have to give me a little bit more revelation on this. So he showed me the picture of a switch, like a light switch, like a regular light switch. He said, when you're ready, you just flick the switch and turn epilepsy off. I'm like, you just turn epilepsy off. He says, yeah, life and death. I set before you life and death. Choose life. It's actually a verse in Deuteronomy, okay? I set before you life and death. And if you didn't know the answer, choose life, right? It's better than death. We're clear out of death. Have life. It's much nicer, okay? It's going to go well with you. I'm like, what? You know, what's that all about? As I started reading through the scriptures, I came to Acts 14, verse 9. And it says, seeing that he had faith to be healed. My lightning fast mind went to that scripture and thought, man, receiving healing has something to do with faith. Duh. Okay? I mean, I was, you know, disciple, you know, but we get there in the end. Okay? I'll go back to the donkey. But anyway, you know, so I might have been a bit slow, but I suddenly realized that receiving healing had something to do with faith. Well, over the period of the next couple of weeks, I just really meditated on that and spent a lot more time with the Lord. And I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to show me. I have no understanding of faith. I have no understanding of healing. It's almost like you're speaking a completely foreign language to me. And just in my quiet times, he took me all the way through the Bible and showed me all the different instances of healing. You can study healing through the Bible for decades, okay? You, I mean, you just go through and you just do a word search in one of your Bible commentaries there and put healing in there. And just study everywhere you can. It's fascinating. But God has never changed his mind about healing. And he's never changed his mind about you, right? And so through that time, he started to speak to me about my identity. Funny enough, I was a bit surprised, but how much he loved me. And, you know, really, that's where some of these teachings come from that I shared with you this morning. God showed me how he was crazy about me, how he saw me as his kid. And, you know, this happened kind of by accident, but faith works by love, Galatians 5:6. As I started to get a grip and understand how much God loved me, I started to realize, hang on a second, I have hidden behind epilepsy. I have used it as a crutch. I have used it to avoid certain situations in my life. You know, it has, and I started to realize how much of my identity the epilepsy had begun to steal. Epilepsy had been stealing from me. Let me tell you, sickness, being of the devil, by nature is self-centered. Right? It's of the devil. It's going to bear fruits of self-centeredness. It's not from God. And so when you've been, especially if you've been sick for a long time, you know, sickness is kind of like an angry toddler. It wants to steal all your time and attention and whatever you've got, it wants. Right? It wants to create a really big scene so it has all of your attention. All of your attention that you're spending focusing on the sickness rather than focusing on the solution. Right? If Jesus is the healer and we find ourselves in a place of sickness, we need to run to him with everything we have. Because healing is a byproduct of our relationship with the healer that we're carrying around on the inside of us, right? It's who we are. Healing is who we are. But what sickness will do when you've had it for a long time is it'll start to tell you what you can do and what you can't do, how you can spend your money and how you can't, if you can eat, if you can work, if you can travel, where to work. It will show you, it will plan your day for you. It will steal your time and attention. Sickness, by nature, is self-centered.
If you enjoyed this teaching, visit our website today to order the complete series, TerraDesMinistries.com.
Wow, wasn't that an awesome teaching from Kylie there? Man, that was the Word of God. Praise God. I know you've received something good. In fact, if you've received from Kylie's teaching today, why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Leave us your testimony, TerraDesMinistries.com. Go on there, press the Contact Us button, TerraDesMinistries.com. We'd love to hear from you. I know you was blessed. I was certainly blessed by that teaching. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Praise God, an abundant life. And remember, why live the normal life when Jesus has paid for you to live the abundant life? We'll see you next time.
If you have been blessed by this program, we invite you to donate and partner with TerraDes Ministries. Visit our website, TerraDesMinistries.com, and become a partner today. Coming up next on the Abundant Life program.
Why don't you enhance what you're doing? What you've got a gift in this area, you love doing it, enhance what you're doing there rather than trying to do something completely different. And nowadays there's so many things, the whole experts industry you may have heard of, which is basically teaching people how to do what you can do naturally. If you do something, you've got natural talent for it and you've done it for more than 10,000 hours, then you can teach people how to do it. If you know how to paint interior houses, go on YouTube and make videos and people start watching your videos. Now, the deal is you're going to have to try to monetize that to work out how can I go from just free videos to actually making money off this. There's different ways you can do that. It's not always simple, but there's ways of doing that. But the fact is you've got something inside of you can offer people and people want from you. And whatever that area is, think about that. Think about what are your talents, what are your skills, what previous experiences do you have? It's amazing. It can be as simple as cleaning houses all the way up to doing people's taxes, whatever it is. What skills do you have? I've got here, what do you love doing? If you can find something you love doing and then do it, I'm telling you, that's going to, because then it's not work anymore.
Join us next time for the Abundant Life program with Ashley and Carly Terrades.